I'm far away from my homeland. The road was long. You understand this when I tell you all my stories. When I was young, I had a dream to see the world and play for people of this earth. My songs, my songs. When I was young, I had the power. When I was young,
I had the dream. Фома, Фома з України, Ukrainian singer whose name is Фома, singing When I Was Young. This is how we usually start the Half na Piv podcast, which is usually in both English and Ukrainian. Today, I feel I will be speaking English only, because my guest, even he is Ukrainian Canadian by origin, he is also American, and he's all his life he spent, I mean, not all his life, sorry, but last 30 years, I believe, he spent in such a small village in California called Hollywood. What else about I know about my guest today? I follow him on Facebook for some, maybe 2 years. And it started with his project, one project here in Alberta. I'm in Alberta. He's also in Alberta today. And he filmed a movie in Alberta. I can't, you know, if I start talking about him and the introduction of him can take maybe 10 minutes, maybe we'll discuss it. His name is Troy Ruptash, ladies and gentlemen. And I hope he hear me now. Hey, Troy.
Yes. Hello.
Troy is professional. Troy is a professional actor, professional filmmaker. He just finished his movie, which is called They Who Surround Us. And we will talk about this movie. And we talk about... yeah, Troy has questions, personal questions to me, because he's working on next movie. We'll talk about this as well. And maybe, I don't know, 30, 45 minutes. I hope we will finish. It's a perfect timing, would be, for me. Yeah. Troy, so I started the introduction of you. And what else I know about you? I seen interview with you on YouTube for Ukrainian radio in Manitoba. So from that, I learned that you were figure skating from 9 to 16 years old, from 9 to 16. And then in very great physical shape, you moved to Hollywood. And you're still in good shape, I tell you. Anyway, so and then you were in theater school in Toronto before moving to Hollywood. You played in Hollywood maybe in dozens of movies. There is in the internet, you can find your actor's profile, professional profile. And you are professional in script analysis and scene study, which probably helped you with your modern projects. You're a movie maker. What I forgot about you, Troy? Did I forget?
So I grew up in Alberta and then in Vegreville, which is, you know, there's a lot of big Ukrainian community here in Vegreville, Alberta. And then I moved to Edmonton. And then Vancouver, and then I went to theater school in Toronto. And actually, before I moved to Hollywood, I went to New York for 15 years and did theater there.
Oh, yeah. Yep, it's also on your webpage. Thank you for reminding. Yeah. By the way, Vegreville, who doesn't know what Vegreville is for Ukrainians? It's basically a remote place for Boeing next to shrine, big shrine there, Ukrainian shrine, Big Pisanka, which is Eastern Egg, biggest in the world.
So it biggest in the world, it's a big tourist attraction here.
It tells a lot about the community. A lot of Ukrainians, and Troy is one of Ukrainians over there. And yes, so New York, Hollywood, and now back to Alberta for some time. Who knows? You never know, right? For how long?
Right. Well, my next project, I mean, I shot the film here in Alberta, and then I finished it in Vancouver, and now I'm back here in Alberta for the Edmonton Film Festival, where the film is going to premiere. So I'm here for another couple of weeks, and then I have to go back to LA for a bit. But then, yeah, my next project, which we can talk about later, is another Alberta Ukrainian story. So I'll be coming back here.
You know, we started this movie, this podcast with my usual theme from Foma, Ukrainian singer who's singing in English with accent. And, you know, this is what you hear now. This is a much more dramatic mood. This is a mood from a movie, They Who Surround Us. The movie is just released, and actually not released yet, right? It's participating in Edmonton Festival, International Festival, yeah. I believe, right? And yeah. one of those movies, I still didn't see, no one seen this movie. I mean, Troy seen it, but I never seen this movie yet. It will be on October 6th, broadcasted in Amazon Prime. And I encourage
you. October 9th.
October 9th. Yes, so I already got my subscription to, I have a Amazon Prime, and I just added Super Channel. And everyone can add Super Channel and watch this movie on October 9th. And time precisely, what's the time?
6:30 Mountain Time. So ah, 6:30 Alberta time.
Yeah, 6:30 yeah. Alberta time PM. Oh, this movie will be broadcast that I'll be watching. It's a convenient time for me. For those in Ukraine or worldwide, you probably will catch it later. And if you see YouTube video, if you see teaser, and you hear this theme, musical theme, you understand the movie is very dramatic. I don't know to what extent it's dramatic. It's a drama, definitely.
Yes.
Correct, right? It's my first impression. And well done, drama, Troy. I'm impressed by teaser, but by your play, by my main female actor play, you're very both strong actors. It's obvious from first, you know, first look. Even this, you actually hired. Of course, sorry, I talk too much. Maybe I should listen to you more. But I'm kind of trying to introduce you. And
And you want me to tell you a bit? I can tell you a bit about the film because
yes, please.
Mm-hmm. You get you're right. From the trailer, you get a sense that it's a drama. It definitely is. It was inspired by my great uncle. His name was Stefan Boysan, and I was very drawn to a picture of him that my mom had. It's on my mother's side, my maternal grandmother's brother. And we had always thought that he had died in Siberia. But then, and I started researching my family history and knew I wanted to write a movie about, inspired by my family that came from Ukraine to Alberta. My grandmother, my maternal grandmother came. A brother of hers had come out to Alberta a few years before that. And she was supposed to find him here, but it was like 18 years before she found him here. She was the only other person from the family that made it out of Ukraine. And while I was writing this movie and researching it, I had the opportunity to go to Ukraine for the first time. And the first person in my family here in Alberta who has been back to Ukraine. And I had a genealogist working with me there. And I went back to the village. I don't know if I'm saying it correctly, but Zhravno, where my grandmother was born and raised. And we met with the priests there, and they pulled up all these records. They did all this research for me. And we found out that my great uncle not only got out of Siberia, but he got married and had a daughter who I ended up meeting. And she's now 75 years old, I think. I met her last year. Mm-hmm. And Stefan, my great uncle, I found out, ended up being a commander in UPA. Mm-hmm. And so I was fascinated by all of this. So the movie is basically about a Ukrainian immigrant farmer in Vegreville in 1987. And at the beginning of the movie, I'm not giving anything away because it happens right at the beginning, he loses his wife in a tragic accident. And that triggers his memories from what happened to him as a boy. He fled Ukraine as an 8-year-old boy. So the movie flashes back to 1943 Ukraine. And most of the movie is set in 1987 Alberta. So, and through the movie, you learn what happened to him before he fled Ukraine. So yeah, I'm very excited. You know, I feel like I've been acting for 25, 27 years, and I've never auditioned for a Ukrainian character. I've never played a Ukrainian character. And I felt like there were so many stories that I started hearing of not only my family, but all these other people who came, all these Ukrainians who came to Alberta, and I became very passionate about telling their stories. So the first one is inspired by my family, and I'm really excited that it's premiering in Edmonton.
I can hear it now during this interview, and I heard from your interviews before that and from this movie that you feeling this reconnection to Ukraine now and to Alberta. Both,
yeah,
you were so long for so long far away, mm-hmm. And yeah, just quote you here. You found such sense of belonging, how at home I felt. You said, you know, in Ukraine, it's an interesting. Someone from Hollywood, with origins from Canada, visit Ukraine, visit this town between Kalush and I just checked on Google. It's between Kalush and Stryi in Ivano-Frankivsk region. And you've just feel reconnection, feel belonging to it, right? This is your words, belonging.
Yeah, it was incredible because, like you said, it started with coming back to Alberta and feeling, you know, I had heard the story, some stories of my family from Ukraine. But, of course, when my grandmother came, she didn't want to talk about a lot of the things that happened. So, and then she passed away, unfortunately, when I was young, when I was 12. So I wish I would have learned more stories back then, but I'm glad I started to now because, and then when I went to Ukraine, like, yeah, I born in Alberta, lived most of my life then in New York and Los Angeles, Hollywood. But when I went to Ukraine, I just felt an immediate sense of like I was home. And the more I learned about my family there and what they went through and then what they went through when they came to Alberta, you know, it was very difficult for them at first. It was very difficult, like for so many Ukrainians who came to Alberta. And, you know, they sacrificed so much and struggled so that their children and their children's children could have better lives here. And I talk about that in the movie. That actually is how the movie starts. There's a quote that I wrote about, you know, we will build lives for our children and for our children's children.
Those children.
I feel such a connection.
But this movie depicting this, actually, your movie, as I understand, that no one preserved, even if you move to a different country, your memories follow you, your stresses, your child trauma of this little boy whose name Roman, right? It follows him to Canada, and when he's already grown man, he already experiences this trauma still, right? Still flashbacks, something like that.
Yeah, exactly. I became really fascinated by epigenetic inheritance and intergenerational trauma and transgenerational trauma, because I, Troy, as a person, was going through a very difficult time, actually. And what got me through the difficult time was when I started researching my ancestors and connecting to their struggles, because, you know, there's a lot of research now about how, you know, even though, like, what my ancestors went through, even the ones that I never met had an impact on me today. And, you know, stuff gets transferred down in the DNA, they're discovering more than they ever realized. And so I felt like a lot of what I was going through, what helped me through it, was looking at the traumas that my family in Ukraine experienced. And so then I took that into the movie and wanted to write about something that was universal to everyone, but was inspired by my story. And that this farmer who has sort of blocked out or wanted to forget about his trauma and memories in Ukraine, but when his wife dies, it sort of brings it all back. And that can happen, you know, when you experience grief or trauma in the present, it can trigger old traumas. But by reliving it, and he begins to heal it. So that's a big theme in the movie too.
And I want to jump now to present time, mm-hmm. to Ukraine. You felt belonging and you liked many things you saw in Ukraine. Of course, Ukraine has challenges. One of challenges, not very dramatic, but nowadays challenges. Ukraine producing a lot of films recently, like say 10 times more than 10 years ago. Because elite of Ukraine understood suddenly, finally, that movie is important for social consciousness, for especially in war times, very important. And what the Ukrainians has lack of, and its professional community actually almost agreed, in Ukraine, lack of drama movies.
And
historically, Ukrainians know a lot about war, because even in Soviet time, I was a kid in school in Soviet time, we were hearing about war like every second day, but more about glorious war, not about drama of war. And even now it's a democratic regime in Ukraine, but Ukrainian artists, Ukrainian filmmakers, they still don't know how to approach trauma of war. I think you are one of first Ukrainians, Troy.
Wow.
You know it or not, you are one of first filmmakers who approached drama, Ukrainian post-war drama. You won't believe, right? This is it's a phenomenon.
Wow.
So much war in Ukraine, so much even now war. Even now about current conflict of war in Donbass, there is no much drama about this. They film comedies about war. I mean, comedies in sense, just take it, you know, trying to make life easier for people, but not drama. So you are with your drama movie. You are one of the first filmmakers who actually touched the post-war traumatic war syndrome in this, with your Hollywood flavor, with your Canadian-American flavor. I think it will be success in Ukraine, Troy.
I hope so.
Mm-hmm.
I would. That would make me so happy, because, and I know right from the start when I just started the idea of the film, and then I had the opportunity to go to Ukraine, just the support I felt from Ukraine and from the people I was meeting there. And I was able to meet some, we actually had a small screening of another film that I didn't direct, but I was in, but they wanted to show it, a group of artists, a group of young filmmakers. And then I did a little Q&A afterwards. And I found that the people there were so receptive to me and to what I was doing. And I think my hope is that there will be a big audience for it in Ukraine, just as there will be in North America and Canada and the US, because I think, you know, there are so many people like me in Alberta who feel like I knew so little about Ukraine. And then what I've heard is that there are a lot of Ukrainians who had family come to Alberta or Canada and didn't always hear about what their lives ended up being like. So I feel like both sides, there hopefully
both
will
sides
be interest.
I agree. It's well done artistically. I think it's well done movie. Great characters again. This young boy who is even not a professional. Of course, it's his age. Maybe he cannot be professional. But what I can see, those photos of him, it's a good selection, good casting. And everything's so artistic. I cannot judge on editing because I never seen movie, but I'm pretty much sure, with your Hollywood experience and New York experience, it will be a well-fit movie to local market in Alberta, in Northern America. It's low budget, right? It's, you cannot say it's low, it's not a blockbuster or something. I mean,
no, it's not. I mean, it's definitely what would be considered a micro budget film, you know. But luckily, I had an amazing team around me. Not only the other actors, but my cinematographer is incredible, and you know, one of the filmmakers that I'm really inspired by is Tarkovsky, and my cinematographer actually studied. He's from Morocco, but he speaks Ukrainian and Russian, believe it or not. Yeah. And he studied under Tarkovsky's DP, cinematographer. So the fact that he ended up shooting this film was really incredible to me because...
Yeah, Tarkovsky is very strong for drama especially, right? He's,
yeah, I just think Tarkovsky was an incredible, incredible filmmaker. And so, yeah, we didn't have a huge budget for the movie, but there was so much support in the community here that people helped out, you know, at lower wages or donated things. And a lot of talented people came to it because I think a lot of people, first of all, felt the passion that I had to tell this story. And then they were excited by telling a story that isn't often told. You know, there are a lot of documentaries here in Hollywood or North America. I won't even say a lot, but some documentaries about Ukraine. But when it comes to narrative features, you know, that tell a Ukrainian story, it's very limited. So I wanted to change that.
And it's a good time marketing-wise, because if you turn on American TV, you can hear word Ukraine like every 5 minutes. It's incredible. You mentioned actually in your interview, I quoted here, that Ukraine is underrated in such a, okay, underrepresented, you're saying. But on one side, there is an obvious lack of explaining what is Ukraine and what's Ukrainian drama and why we hear so much Ukraine today. Because it was collected, deposited for centuries, drama of this borderland between, Ukraine is very borderland physically between north, south, east, and west. And now we hear on American TV, Ukraine. You know, one of my favorite philosophers, Joel Harari, he talks talks about his philosophy recently in India, and he used Ukraine twice during presentation. And people like, why you hear so much about Ukraine? It's, we heard before about Germany, France, right? But what's coming? Why are you hearing so much? Even on Fox TV, I heard once. I'm not a big fan of Fox TV, but watched recently. Not recently, but some YouTube video. And host is asking why I hear so much about Ukraine. He's, you know, you're a professional. Go learn why you why you're hearing so much about Ukraine. Anyway, so you are. It's a good time to present Ukrainian drama.
I think so.
Especially in this approach between, you have this time machine between 1943 in Ukraine and 1987 in Alberta, right? So you can show both worlds, both time in this movie. So, wow, it's there's many promising qualities in this movie built in, which probably when it aired, even it's low budget, you're saying micro budget, but it will be like, wow. Like it will be successful.
I'm excited to see what happens because I feel like, again, it's, I tried to make the story universal in terms of like thematically, because I want to, obviously I'm telling a Ukrainian narrative and that was so important, but I want to reach as many people as possible. So thematically, you know, I really wanted to deal with grief, and with, you know, the difficulties that we all go through when we lose someone that we love, and what gets us through that and how. And then more importantly, also, I wanted to convey to people like what happened for me when I started researching my Ukrainian ancestors and the history and that heritage. It helped me so much in my present day life. And I wanted other people to experience that. So I'm hoping they'll see the film and it'll inspire them to, if they've already started researching their family history, to just continue, or if they've never done it, to begin.
And on top of this, they will see Vegreville, Alberta yes. Plains, which are very oh. special and really also underrepresented in I mean, Alberta is shooting a lot of Hollywood movies like Revenant, like Broken Mountain, yeah. Brokenback mm-hmm. Mountain. For example, just two movies in my head from past where Alberta is kind of in all its beauty. It's mainly about mountains, Alberta, like Revenant, right? It's wild,
right.
And that's where I am now, in mountains. Mm-hmm. And Vegreville, it's in Alberta Plains. It's in Alberta heart. It's
yes.
it's different sceneries. And it's very interesting sceneries, unique. And it's
yeah.
all around your movie. I see now it's we're talking, and I see on my screen rotating sceneries from the movie,
mm-hmm.
and it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful, and it's very fitting the story scenery. It's relaxing, calming down, mm-hmm. right? Scenery. It's not like
yeah.
New York scenery, right? It's not urban,
right?
And more than not urban, it's not very hilly. It's plains, you see mm-hmm. far, you like it's saltful, interesting. So it's also Vegreville, right? For Ukrainians, again, we started with it. Even in Canada, like this, in Ukraine even more, they know the biggest Ukrainian shrine located in this town.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Pisanka, right? I mean, it's Pisanka. Right. It's, we can talk about Pisanka, right? Long. It's something like representing Ukrainian
culture, and art, and history,
yeah. everything. So this is
and it brings a lot of it brings a lot of people to it to see and begin to learn about Ukrainian heritage and culture, and you're right about the Alberta and Vegreville, you know, prairies and the landscape. It's I can't wait for everyone to see it in the film, because you're right. It's just not only the landscape, but the quality of light that happens here at the end of the summer, beginning of fall. It's like another filmmaker I'm really inspired by is Terrence Malick. And, you know, it's been a long time, but he shot, you know, Days of Heaven here and made, you know, that Alberta light magic hour iconic in that movie. And so I was so privileged to be able to shoot my film here.
Interesting. Let's switch subject a little bit. If you want to ask me, you want to ask me, I can touch this subject now within our podcast. And then if you need more, we can talk after podcast. It's about your future project, I believe. And you have a question to me. You wanted to ask me. So now, during this podcast, you have this opportunity. Tell me about the project. What do you want to hear?
So this next project that I... Actually, when I was writing They Who Surround Us, originally there was going to be a scene that I had... There was a scene I had written where Roman, the main character, goes to a wax healer. Because I had heard about wax healers growing up a little bit, and I became fascinated by it. And I ended up taking that scene out of that movie, but I always knew that I wanted to explore it later. So I started doing a little more research as I was editing They Who Surround Us. And I began to research and try to find out more about what this actually is. And I've started writing, it's going to be a limited series. So I'm thinking 7 to 10 episodes. It's called Mofarka, Whispering Witch. And again, it's going to be a story that flashes back between Alberta in the 40s and then Ukraine, probably about 20 years before that, so maybe in the 20s. And I'm trying to, you know, learn as much as I can about people who have experienced a wax pouring. So I would love to hear, first of all, how old were you when you went to have wax pouring or wax healing?
Okay, so my introducing a little bit my story, I moved to Canada when I was already in the 30s, 20 years ago. And before that, of course, I was in Ukraine. And when I was a kid, I used to live between the rural and capital of Ukraine, because all my roots from northern Ukraine, Siverchina region, it's least populated area of Ukraine. So big plains, very similar, basically, to Alberta, Vegreville, or something like this. So plains, very similar there. Also colder part of Ukraine, coldest part of Ukraine. And Ukraine is not so cold like Alberta, but the coldest part is similar to Vegreville. So very similar plains. And I was a kid who parents every summer break for 3 months or 2 months were bringing to grandparents in village, in very remote village, in least populated area of Ukraine. So because it's least populated, it has this isolation. It preserved a lot of traditions, pagan traditions, right? Christianity is also affected by pagan in this area, in Carpathian region as well. You're originally from, from Frankivsk region, which is also culturally mixed between Christianity, very strong Christianity, and also this pagan influence, historical. So what's wax healing? It's coming, I believe, from pagan times. When I was a kid, of course, when my grandparents thought that something wrong with me, let's say I get eat less, or I'm too nervous, because, you know, I have stress as you're like 12 years old. I was maybe 10 years old when I first time experienced. And I had like at least twice, I remember, this wax healing in this village. And about around 10, 12 years, I was like Roman, this age with your movie, right? The same age.
Right.
So first experience was bright, very, very like still flashing back in my head how it works. Mm-hmm. So the village is located in swamps. So it's very humid and very hot summertime. It's creating basically tropical atmosphere. Can you believe it? You can believe it. If you visited Manitoba summer times, and it's also on the swamps. So this humidity, high humidity and heat creates this special atmosphere, half mystical, right? It's so hot and humid that you basically, it's hard to work. Anyway, I'm 10 years old. My grandmother brings me to some remote chata, which is a house in English. Usually, I don't know why, but those ladies who were practicing witchcraft, basically, somehow they were tending to live on the outskirts of villages. So for village as Krasnopilia, it's called Krasnopilia, this village, where my roots from and where grandparents live. So it was a sunny, hot day. I was like half conscious, I remember. It's kind of very bright color somewhere on outskirts of village, on swamps. And with, I remember, big willow trees near her chata, near her run down an old house. And lady was in chustka, which most Ukrainian ladies of in village wearing, like traditionally dressed, like she had this look. That's why she was so successful in this, because all ladies practicing this, they were special characters, right? They were, I'll say, not witches, of course, it would be wrong word, but they were reading you, right? She gave me this first look, and I see, oops, I'm in some, you know, I remember this look maybe distantly, very distantly, but I remember, I saw again a few times, maybe twice at least, I saw those ladies, and her look was like, she's reading me, what's wrong with you, boy? And then she very swiftly put me flat on in middle of her living room, and this is again chata, which is probably under hay, but I think in her case it was not under hay. Anyway, she put me in middle of a room, and the room is very interesting, of course. It's mazanka. It's painted with white, I don't know how to say it, translated in kreida in Ukrainian, which is I have lack of this English word, but you can find, later we can find what is kreida is. And she had in corners icons, Christian icons, but decorated with very decorated around with some grasses, with some, not grasses, with some flowers and a lot of flowers in this house. And I was lying flat, and she said, just close your eyes. Again, maybe I'm missing some details, but basically I remember. She said, close your eyes and don't think about anything. Just lay flat here. Everything will be fine. And she went somewhere, and for 10 minutes, she was boiling water, basically. Because later, when it's all finished, I asked her, can you show me? Basically, she showed me in the end. I don't remember what I asked her. But it's basically just kastrule, which is a pan. It's just a pan, big pan, very black from saja, from residue. Because, I mean, it's because she put it in fireplace. And it's right. boiling in fireplace. She takes it there and put wask inside. But then she wax inside. Then she rotates it. She rotates it in her hands and whispering some special words on top of me. So I'm laying flat, 10 years old boy. She has this pan in her hands with boiling water. You can feel the heat on your stomach. And she's like slowly rotating around my stomach. Inside is wax, the big chunk of wax. I don't know how big, 1 pound of wax. And she's rotating and this whispering something, something saying her in her words, very low voice, something like, and it's long. It's maybe like 10 minutes.
Wow.
And then she says, that's enough. And you can stand up. And my baba, my grandmother ran to her and she shows this wax to her and to me. And she said, I think it's dog. She said, so dog scared you. And I don't know. I don't know what prep work she's done, but I was very scared of dog all my childhood. And somehow she knows it. I don't know. Maybe this is miracle. We'll never know. She told me, do you see dog in this box? And I look and I really see dog. It's not like well-shaped dog, but you definitely see something close. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. To it. So you see some scary face of dog or something like this with some body and legs. And so probably it's dog, she said. And you know what? What's miracles? And now you asked me this question. I was kind of trying to recall it. It helped, Troy. It helped this whole experience. Really? I remember relief after this. I don't know how much more I was eating better or how much I was less stressful I was after it. But I felt 10 years old boy relieved after it. I don't know why, how to explain. Maybe I was scared by whole experience with this witchcraft. But when we were walking out in this sunny day, very hot sunny day, this tropical time in Ukraine, and I was walking like, whoo, I feel good. Like kind of relief. So it was first so shocking, so mysterious in the middle, and so relieving in the end. That's how it probably works. So they put probably a new shock first, cultural shock, because of what you see in Soviet village of that time, you see tractors, you see machinery, you see peasants. It's kind of more or less flat. About this corner where she lives, her room, it's huge in different village. You didn't know it exists like this. Even the willows on top of her house, they were so big. Or maybe I was scared. You never know, right? Because when you come, you kid, your eyes bigger, everything is bigger, right? When you're shocked.
Right.
So, I don't know. I'm just trying to explain whole experience.
Yeah, I'm so fascinated by it. And I'm trying to also, do you know anyone who happens to still do that here in Alberta? I know there used to be a woman near Mundare, which is not far from Vegreville, but she's no longer living. I've had different people write to me and say, oh yeah, I remember my sister went to see a wax healer when she was a young girl, but she doesn't really remember much. I've started to hear from some people who say, oh yeah, there's a woman who pours wax. She's, but very difficult to get in to see. And I just really, I'm really fascinated by it. And do you know anyone in Alberta?
No, unfortunately, I don't know. You definitely can ask around in Vegreville and Mundare. I pretty much understand why it would be still alive, this wax healing, because the people there, they're isolated, kind of. They culturally, they're more inclined to such way of healing than, say, Edmonton is urban area, or Vegreville even quite urban comparing to Mandair, let's say. I would search somewhere next to Mandair, maybe a little bit closer to Saskatchewan border, more remote communities, right? They are Manitoba, maybe. By the way, there are many isolated communities in Manitoba. So I'm pretty much sure tradition can, if it was present in your time, it's still probably present around. You can try Google. Maybe those people.
Yeah.
I'm sure you tried Google it, right? Fox killing in prairies or in Alberta, Manitoba. Yep. Ask or check also Manitoba in Saskatchewan. I believe more Manitoba because Manitoba has this first of all isolated Ukrainian communities. Plus, this summertime, at least, tropical experience, so-called. I mean, put it in brackets, but when it's humid and very hot, it creates this kind of mysterious time, like which is important for such treatment. Because you have to be a little bit relaxed, prepared, right, by nature.
Right.
Because it's all related to nature, right? This whole experience is growing from soil.
That's why I'm also fascinated because it seems very, you know, I've always been fascinated with shamanism and with holistic healing and different types of healing, especially when it comes to psychological states or, you know, I think because so much of the time with the wax healing, they talk about fear sickness and here, you know, healing fear sickness. And and it does seem very similar to, you know, whether it's, you know, like witchcraft or what was called witchcraft or shamanism or mysticism. And it seems like there's sort of a resurgence of it now and people are starting. So I feel like, again, just like it's a good time to make a Ukrainian movie or to tell this story, I feel like this is another aspect of that culture that I really want to explore. And I feel like it's, so who knows? Maybe someone will hear us talking on this and like reach out to you or me, and we can find out more.
Yeah, if someone hear me for me, my Ukrainian audience, they mainly Ukrainians listening my Ukrainian segments. But if someone listening it in English, please let me know. I will contact Troy and just tell him story like I just did, right? Like how it looks like in Ukraine.
Exactly.
Again, it's mix of pagan and Christianity, right? And the lady, she's not neglected to Christianity. She still has icon in corner, like many Ukrainian, well, most Ukrainian villagers, houses. They have a Christian icon in corner.
Right.
But she decorated icon corner.
Yeah. And
she decorated it with flowers. And that's what's already unusual. So she kind of, this is kind of representation of mix between pagan flowers. I mean, it's dry flowers, right? It's not, you have to be precise here. It was dry flowers. It was kind of a beautiful composition, but from dry flowers. And in middle of it, Christian icon, right? So this is kind of representing whole approach, right? Mm-hmm. It's mixed between pagan tradition and Christianity. But it's happening in many cultures, in the Irish culture, pagan traditions, emerging Christian traditions, right?
Yeah.
Interesting. So
very interesting.
Yes.
Thank you for telling me the story. Thank you.
No, thank you for asking. It's, you know, rewiring in my head. And since you asked me maybe like months ago, I started thinking about what I remember. That's why I can present it in details. Mm-hmm. Because if you ask me first time, I would say, oh, yeah, I remember, but it was so... But now, yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe you'll remember even more.
Yeah, some details can come back. If I have some more details, I will contact you back. And again, I encourage everyone, contact back me or Troy.
Yeah.
I will link your link to your page, film page. And there are contacts.
Right.
So people can contact you. Thank you very much, Troy.
And thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate, you know, I was very excited to speak with you and I'm really grateful for the opportunity and you helping me to spread the word about this film. So thank you so much.
Thank you for doing that because I was feeling we need more dramatic story about film stories, especially made in such great way with as you done it, this high art way. And
well, thank you.
Yeah, I wish you success.
I would love to. After you see the whole movie, we should talk again. I would love that.
I will, yeah, after October 9.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bye. All right. Thank you so much. Take care.